Hello and welcome to the Fleet Insider. On this podcast, we will be inviting fleet managers from across the UK to share their thoughts and insights on being a fleet manager, covering everything from what their day looks like to how the Quartix fleet tracking system helps them to make decisions, gain insight, and make improvements to the running of their fleet, and also to look at the challenges they're currently facing and how they are overcoming them.
Welcome to the Fleet Insider. Paul Mullins is with us today. Paul, welcome to Quartix's podcast, The Fleet Insider.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
You're the second fleet manager that's been on this podcast. The first one was our guinea pig, Lewis. But rather than sort of me give a bit of an introduction, I'd love to hear a little bit more about what 4Fiver does and actually your role within that, Paul.
Yeah, sure. So obviously I speak mainly from the transport function of it, because obviously that's what I do. So I'm the National Transport Manager for 4Fiver, and my job is just making sure that our teams on the ground have all the kit and equipment that they need in terms of vehicles, making sure they're like the right spec of vehicles, because obviously being a telecommunications company, we climb up poles and we dig holes essentially. So we've got to make sure that we're safe is one of our core principles. And pretty much that's what I do on a day-to-day basis, constantly engaging with the drivers, constantly making sure that they've got what they need. And then obviously from a business perspective, just making sure that we're doing that within our budget constraints.
How big is your fleet currently?
At the moment, I have 95 vehicles on the road, but I've put the fleet into decline since I've been with 4Fiver, just because as most up-and-coming companies, such as 4Fiver, they go out and buy lots of vehicles initially to make sure that they are covered and that they're not going to have any gaps. And then obviously when they employ a transport manager, then obviously our job is to get the costs right. So what I've been doing is getting rid of quite a few vehicles since I've been in the business, which is about 8 months now, I think.
Wow. So you've been in the business 8 months, and obviously in that time you've come in and you definitely sort of changed the landscape internally.
Well, in terms of reducing the fleet, yeah, because I think when I took over from a fleet manager, and I think the fleet had grown quite significantly, and it was just some of the systems that I would expect to see in place as a transport manager, because I come from a mainly a HGV background, you see. So when you manage HGVs, there's very strict, planning methods in the way that I can see a fleet on paper. So when I go into businesses that don't have that, then that's the first thing that I do is get everything on paper, see what we have, and then basically put the fleet into decline so that we can save some money.
So how did you become a fleet manager, and how long have you been a transport fleet manager?
So anyone that knows me will probably laugh, because I'm very precious about being called a transport manager as opposed to a fleet manager, only because, that's just how I've been trained throughout my career. But in terms of how did I start, probably when I was 16, I entered the Defence Logistics Organisation as a civil servant in Colchester and Essex. And that was in 2001, so just a couple of years short before the Iraq conflict, or the second Iraq conflict kicked off. And that's where I really was trained through qualifications like warehouse and distribution courses. And that's where I saw firsthand the importance of road haulage and how someone like me on my own in like one warehouse can affect almost global change by whatever it is that I'm doing and how that impacts on the supply chain. So effectively, since the age of 16, I've been in supply chain logistics, and in the last 16 years is when I've really sort of been in the managerial positions.
I want to bring you back to something you mentioned there at the beginning of your note, which was the difference between a transport manager and a fleet manager. The floor is yours, Paul. I'm intrigued.
So in my experience, and I say I've been in the industry, it's like 20 odd years. So I think it's very precious to where you work. So one thing, I was trained by a transport manager who had spent 20 years in one place, and I was very keen to explore different avenues of the transport world. I didn't want to just stay in defence logistics. I wanted to see how people like DHL, Siebe Logistics, some of the companies I have worked for in the past, how do they do things? So I wanted to experience sort of dangerous goods, construction stuff, you know, the whole field. And then I very quickly learned from my own personal experience, and again, I'm not detracting anything from fleet managers that are out there, but my personal sort of definition of the difference between a transport and fleet manager would be a transport manager has a certificate of professional competence so that we can then hold an O license, whereas fleet managers would tend to do vehicles that aren't in scope of an O license, although, you know, with the way the world's going these days, that may likely change in the future. That's just for me, my experience of fleet managers, they look after light commercial vehicles, whereas transport managers will tend to look after the bigger stuff.
You came from a HGV background and now you're 4.5, which I'm assuming is a longer LCV. What's the difference and how have you made that transition?
So HGVs, I've always favoured HGVs because, and I'm sure most transport managers, I would hope, would agree with me, but when you work with a business that has lorries, there's so much regulation around them that everybody in the business is brought in or has buy-in, in terms of how they understand what the transport manager's responsibilities are. When you then go into businesses where there's no lorries and they just have like commercial vehicles, for example, they might not be as aware of the rules and regulations that pertain to the LCVs, which isn't the same as lorries, but as we progress forwards, there is becoming more and more sort of regulation in the sort of van world. And you've got things like the Logistics UK, who do their van excellence scheme. So this, and the Highways England do their better driving, for business schemes. So there's things out there for vans to do that. But that's the biggest difference for me, is coming from a very highly regulated environment where everybody in the business knows what you've got to do and they support you with that. And you come into sort of a van world where people aren't really sure and they rely on you for your expertise. So really it is good being involved in vans because you can truly be the subject matter expert for the business and champion sort of things like road safety and things like that.
Which do you enjoy more?
Definitely HGVs, because it's something that I've done for years. I know it inside out, and I, throw me into a transport department and I'll be very comfortable, and it's great. But as I say, I've been lucky enough to manage both, and I have had mixed fleets that I've managed before. So I've done at the same time HGVs and vans together. But Full Fibre represents one of the few times that I've gone straight into vans only. Which is sometimes a welcome change from the regulation of lorries.
Well, especially when you've been doing it 20 years, I'm sure it's just a bit of, a bit of a sea change. When it comes to vehicle tracking, so you've been doing this now 20 years, for a long old time, we know technology has advanced massively in that time. And when it comes to vehicle tracking, is that a technology you've used in your previous roles, in your current role? And if you have, how have they played a part in obviously making certain decisions around your fleet?
So just to give you a little bit of background, so for the last sort of 8 years, I've been a transport management consultant. So I've gone into companies who have needed either some management support in terms of, we've got a transport function, can you come and help us optimize it, make it better? Or what some external transport managers do a lot of is like the compliance and the O license stuff. So with those types of companies that I've gone into, they've had either one or two different tracking companies. I can remember there's been some large organizations that I've worked for where across their whole national fleet, they've had in the north, they've had Green Roads, in the south, they might have had Teletrack Navman, or wherever the case may be, all different. So one of my jobs has been saying, okay, right, what do you want from your telematics system? What benefit do you see it having to the business? So it's, I think from my experience, a lot of businesses, and I would definitely say this is the case for sort of vans, is they want tracking so they know where their people are. So they use it as a safety sort of where are our employees working. Whereas with the advent of distracted driving that we have, which is quite prevalent in the news and the media nowadays, then we've got the introduction of the driver facing cameras, which I remember probably 5-6 years ago when I first brought some of those into one of the fleets I was managing, and it was a bit like, oh, hang on a minute, what's going on with this? But yeah, telematics is absolutely fundamental into what transport managers do, because that's where your data comes from and how you make business decisions about the fleet.
What data points do you use and do you look at when managing a fleet?
So it's quite good to ask that now, because as I say, with Full Fibre, I'm still quite new into the 8 months. So I'm still sort of doing my break-in phase, as it were. So the first thing I will look for when I'm started with a new company is equipment utilization. So how often is the fleet used? You don't get this with lorries as much because lorries, you can only really do business mileage with lorries because you can't use them for your own personal use to go shopping with because it's a bit too big. But definitely with vans, you've got that private mileage aspect. And some businesses, you know, they let the drivers take the vehicles home and then they use them at the weekend. And then that starts to open up some issues with, you know, are we insured for that? Does the business want to deliver that going forward? And that's where your tracking data of the utilization side of it comes in, because I can say, right, the vehicles I use 7 days a week, show me their work schedules. Okay, it's only 5 days a week they're supposed to be working. So now I know that the weekends is sort of their personal time. Let's delve into a bit of that. So that's the very first thing that I would check really is how the equipment is actually used and the frequencies and stuff like that.
How do drivers react to that?
Definitely, I know lorry drivers will know that goes on. And obviously people know, especially van drivers will know that the company does track them. But I'm not sure of how much they actually know the detail that we go into, other than, you know, the privacy policies that we put out for people's data, as in, you know, like we do track your location and here's the reason why we do it. And obviously get all the employee buy-in and engagement that goes with that. But I think if you were to ask any sort of van driver, you know, do you know that you're tracked and tell us a bit how you think that tracking works? They'll probably just say things like the company watches where I go is probably what they would say. But I don't think they realise how much work a transport manager will do in the background of what we're drilling into to really optimise that fleet.
If a driver is using their vehicle or their van on a Sunday and Saturday, taking the kids to football, whatever it may be, if that's a policy that you as a business haven't adopted and they're not able to do that, what happens then?
Again, this is most transport managers or fleet managers will have had experienced this because it happens quite a lot, I would imagine. So what my personal view on it is to say, right, is to understand the behaviour. So I'll use the telematics or the tracking devices to understand, is there any patterns where people are going regularly? So I might start to then use the geofence functions if I detect that, you know, let's say someone's going to a tourist attraction like a theme park or a zoo or something every single week. And all I would do is just spend like probably a few weeks or a month measuring where people are roughly going, and then just have those conversations with people to understand how they're using that vehicle, and then seeing if it fits in with the organization's policies of how we use it. And if it's not, then it's just a simple conversation to have with the teams just to say, look, you know, this is what you've been doing, this is why we can't do this anymore, and is there any way the business can support you by not using the vehicle if you need to do something like a welfare issue or something like that. So just having a conversation with people, I think, is the best starting point for that.
It's hard, isn't it, because obviously it's not like you've got a depot where they'll drop the van off and then they'll go home in their normal car. They are taking these vans home, so just naturally they are going to pop to the shop on the odd occasion. Yeah, there's always those things. But like you said, if they're not insured, if you're not insured as a business, it just, you know, it needs to be addressed quite quickly. Going on to a little bit of fleet maintenance now. So how and have you used telematics to help on the fleet maintenance side?
So it depends again on your business's makeup in how you know, do you own your vehicles? Do you lease them? You know, they're the two fundamentals, because if you own them, then obviously you've got a bit more of a say to how you maintain them. And if you lease them, then obviously, you know, depending on the package that you've purchased, a repair and maintenance contract, for example, or you might have just leased the vehicles on their own, in which case you'll then use a telematics as if you own the vehicles. So the way that I've used telematics for maintenance in the past is definitely for preventative maintenance scheduling, because some systems that are out there allow you to input all your vehicles when the services are due. You can do it on a mileage or a time based, depending on, you know, your particular maintenance situation, and then the system can alert you. And it depends again what telematic system that you have, because I know there are some out there that, you know, not only provide you with the dash cam and the telematics, they also provide you with like a little sat nav for the vehicle that you can use to communicate to the driver. So this is where your maintenance reminders will pop up. And so that's how I've used the vehicle maintenance side of life. And I think there are some companies out there that even allow you to indicate types of service. You know, you can custom build, you know, forms and stuff that you want on there. So there's a plethora, I would say, of maintenance options from the tracking side of life.
Because you've been in this for so long now, 20 years is a long time being a transport manager. Can you remember the days where tracking wasn't there in the very early stages, but it was nothing like it was today? What were those times like?
I think tracking has always been around since I've been in the business, but there has definitely been businesses I've worked for where there was no tracking. Where we used to use, and I forget what they're called now, but we used to use, like, if you was to watch me in my very early transport management days, I would have two walls of my office covered in a whiteboard, like a huge wall-sized whiteboard. And I remember sort of like when we used to do like newspaper runs into London, I would have that contract on one side of the board, and then my supervisors would literally, like you see in these war films where the RAF are sort of moving things on a map. That's exactly how I used to run non-tracked vehicles, and the drivers had to periodically get in touch with us. So when they arrived at the depot, we used to have like protocols where the depot warehouse manager or their supervisors would phone us to say, you know, trailer number 334 has arrived. And then I would then put that into, you know, depot mode, and that would start a whole chain of things off there. But yeah, it was all pen and paper essentially back then.
It's mad, isn't it, to think that in such a 20 years is a long time. It's not a huge amount of time, isn't it, where we've come. This might be a silly question because I probably know the answer to this, Paul, but would you recommend to transport managers and fleet managers to use fleet tracking? Because still not all of the UK market, or, you know, around the world in different territories, a lot of companies still haven't yet adopted this technology. And I think it's bizarre still to this day, even if you've got a smaller fleet, like you said, you just don't know where your vehicles are. But is it something you'd recommend?
Yes is the answer to that question. But one of the things I've noticed, and I've been saying this to a few fleet event companies that are sort of going around the UK, is telematics companies are brilliant at showing up at an event and saying to you, you need, this is your problem, you don't have tracking in the fleet. Our solution will help you solve that problem. Here's all the bells and whistles of what we can do. But one thing that they don't do, and there's only one company I can think of that I've had the experience of them doing this, they don't tell you how to do it. So if you imagine a situation where you have a transport manager, it's just passed their CPC, and now they're going to get a transport management job. They land in the chair their first sort of week. They won't know what they need or what they do. They'll just be faced with this telematic system of, like, you know, great, it does everything, you know, so they won't really understand the best they can get out of it. So I would definitely recommend the use of telematic systems. But with that, I would also say that if you do get them, you need to contact the company that you get them with to have the most that you can get out of the system training, where companies do offer it, you just got to ask for it. And I've always done that, and it has really worked well.
It's quite interesting, actually, the last chat we had on Lewis, he actually said the exact same thing as you, which is, it's a brilliant system. All these systems are fantastic, but you've got to use them and understand them. And it's like anything, isn't it? You know, any of our personal lives, if you have a subscription for Netflix or certain subscriptions or gym memberships even, they're brilliant having them, but you've got to use them and understand how to use them. Now, to end, Paul, we will always ask this one question, which is, what one piece of advice would you give to a new fleet manager? Like you said, they've just passed the CPC, they're on the chair the first day. What's your one-liner to them?
Go straight to the HR department and make as many friends as you possibly can, because you'll need them throughout your career. Because obviously transport is a people management, or what we'd probably say like a soft skill. And most definitely I didn't have those skills when I first became a transport manager. And dealing with a unionised environment can be very tricky to navigate. So I would say get very friendly with your HR department so they can help support you and you can support them. And also the finance department, because without finance, your fleet won't go anywhere. So those two departments are the fundamentally key departments for helping you become a successful transport manager.
How strange, again, sort of going back to Lewis, his was to make friends with your suppliers. His background was vans, and they have a fleet of 600, so they need a good supply of vans, plus, as we know, the issues we've got currently in terms of supply chain. So it's quite weird that you've both gone around relationships, make friends in, you know, obviously internally for you, but obviously externally for Lewis, which was incredible. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Paul. It's been amazing having you on, being our second guest on the Fleet Insider. And where can people find out more about you? Are you on LinkedIn, or, you know, are there any channels that you post on?
Yeah, mainly prevalent on LinkedIn, where I try to post as much as I can on there. And there are a few fleet events that I'm guest speaking at over the next couple of years that I've been invited to. So there'll be some posts coming out probably for that over the next couple of months, I would imagine.
Which events?
So the one that I've got confirmed at the moment will be the Fleet Summit, which will be next year, that I'll be doing that now. And there's a couple of at the moment which are not quite confirmed yet, so I won't mention them just yet.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for your time, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to find out more about how Quartix can help enhance your business's productivity and reduce costs, head to our website and get a free demo.